It's Jim, it's the World of Bonds. It's Monday, the 26th of February, 2024. This is for professional investors only. Never, ever investment advice. Well, here's a turn up for the books. People have started talking about rate hikes from the Fed. After all that, you know, with March having been nailed on for a cut, followed by six or so more 25 basis point cuts or so by the end of the year, the change in sentiment so far in 2024 has been so rapid that people like Larry Summers are now suggesting a chance that the next Fed move is up. The data has, it must be said, been better than feared, and the loosening of financial conditions through what's going on in risk assets, whether it's credit spreads or equity market levels, has been quite dramatic. Although obviously that loosening in financial conditions through risk assets has been offset by the higher bond yields that we've seen so far in 2024. So if you look at something like the Goldman Sachs FCI Financial Conditions Index, it's been pretty flat from mid-December through to now, having fallen very dramatically from October through to that mid-December point. So we've almost exactly offset the looser conditions from risky stuff with the tighter conditions through bond world. Bond markets, though, don't think that the hike that Summers is speculating might come is on the cards, and there is still the first cut priced in by June. Real yields in US Treasury land are hovering around 2%. They're very slightly below 2% at the 10-year point. If you look at the TIPS, the inflation-linked securities, a bit like linkers in the UK, their real yields are hovering 1.9 something at the moment. I did see a good chart earlier today that shows that the VIX, which is equity market volatility as measured through implied vol on options, the VIX suddenly goes crazy, or certainly did last time we went through 2% on real yields. People start remembering that you know, their dividend discount models and so forth, that everything is really valued off long-dated US treasuries, and when real yields get high, then it's not a nice time to be owning risk assets historically. So watch out if we do go through 2%. The VIX is really, really low at the moment. It's around its five-year low point at something like 14. It has been as low as 11.5. But if you look back at COVID, it got out to about 83. So we're at the lows. Bond yields are about to go through or hovering around 2%. Watch out what happens to risk assets if that is the case. Last time it wasn't pretty. Right. This week, though, all bond eyes are on the US core PCE deflator. This, remember, is the measure of inflation that the Fed prefers to use rather than the CPI. Remember that the last CPI number was hotter than expected and provoked a big bond market sell-off. So an upward surprise on the PCE deflator would be poorly received, I think it's fair to say. Now, last month, which was December's number, that we got last month, it came in at 2.6% on the headline PCE deflator, 2.9% on the core, and the forecast consensus is that we get a 2.4% headline and a 2.8% core, so a slight fall in both of those measures. That's on a year-on-year basis, but when you look at the annualised 3 and 6 month numbers, both are at or below the 2% Fed target for where they want that number to get to, which had justified the calls for Fed cuts. Some people do suspect, though, that we might get an uptick in those annualised measures or even in the year-on-year. So that's something to watch out for. That's Thursday, 1:30 GMT. What else? In the UK, the UK Office for National Statistics showed that the UK's birth rate is now hitting an all-time low. So for every woman, they produce 1.49 children in 2022 compared to 1.55 children in 2021. And in bits of the country, including lots of bits of London, the birth rate per woman is now 1.2 children per woman. and that the FTA, points out, is causing a wave of school closures and other stuff going on. And it is a big deal because without immigration, that same FT article says that the UK population will fall by 25 to 30% in a generation. So a huge fall. And remember, working age population growth plus productivity growth equals GDP growth. So with a shrinking working age population, that would imply the chances of trend growth being above zero fall dramatically. And who's going to service all our 100% debt to GDP of government bonds if we don't have any workers? And there was lots of talk as well today about the absence of workers in the UK workforce from a different reason. And that's the a staggering half a million under 35 year olds in the UK economy are off work on long-term sickness. And it's especially prevalent amongst those in their early 20s, where mental health issues, particularly anxiety, are causing people to not be able to work. Right, finally today, talking of young people, have you tried to insure one of them to drive your car lately, as I have? And there's a big article on this in the Sunday Times by George Nixon this week, talking about will your child ever be able to afford to get behind the wheel? My quotes for my kid to learn to drive in a 20-year-old Golf averaged about 900 quid to add them onto my license, and that's with them having a provisional license. Once they actually pass their driving test, there's a huge leap up again, because then in the UK they don't have to have a grown-up in the car with them. And to be honest, you know, it's not just the fact that kids are being put off by the cost of driving, and it's not just insurance, it's things like driving lessons. The Sunday Times says that it now costs on average £35 an hour for a driving lesson, from £22 a decade ago, and it's outstripped inflation quite dramatically as well. But you know, kids don't really want to learn to drive today, and I think that's going to be a big problem as well. What does that mean for economic growth? If you have a workforce that is immobile, that can't drive to the next town, that relies on public transport to be able to get to a job, go and have fun, drive to the cinema, whatever it may be, what does it mean to have, what does it mean for economic growth, I think, if you have an immobile, stationary workforce that can't do anything? It's all very well hoping that driverless cars will come on stream, or Ubers will become plentiful once more. Very hard to get one nowadays, of course, but you know, I think that's a big issue. Come on kids, get back in your car. Can't get tests though either, can they? Can you believe that the UK government allows the test slots to be sold to resellers, effectively ticket touts for driving tests? I mean, and they say they can't do anything about that. It just seems absolutely incredible. If you're, you know, if you want a happy economy that clears its driving tests, and I'm sounding like Victor Meldrew, but you can't allow your driving tests to go to ticket touts. Just give them to the people who need the driving tests. Anyway, that's enough of a rant for today. Let's enjoy PC Deflator and forget about driving for a bit. Bye.